Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Love that. That's amazing. I do that too, you know, because we're an expert in specific categories. We're not, I don't like to say we do it all. And so we have different agencies that I'll just send business to when my clients need help.
That's great.
What's one advice would you give to businesses, especially startups, you know, that have been really struggling the last couple of years, right? Like, because there was a huge transition of the brick and mortars that were not necessarily online, and they all went online, and the online space became so noisy, so crowded, so saturated. And, you know, and then there, I see the shift, and I'm one of them, that I actually went the opposite direction. I went from an online business with my CBD brand with Roma Leaf. I went from online to a brick and mortar store in Studio City. And so, and that's been working for us so much better than anything else. And it's just like, and I'm the type where I was just, I've been helping e-commerce brands for the past almost two decades. And so for me, the brick and mortar was like, oh no, I'm not going there. That's so old. That's just not going to work. And my husband was like, no, that's what we need to do. We need to go where our customers are. And it's just been incredible, the success that we've had. And so my question is, what advice do you have for businesses who are trying to differentiate themselves and figuring out which channels to go to be able to distribute and sell their products and services?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's hard. It definitely is. And I'll say this. I mean, at least on the PR side, I do a lot of coaching with startup businesses and entrepreneurs that are, you know, just like launching companies and things like that, where I help create pitches with them, teach them how to do it and things like that, that they may not have the budget to hire a PR firm like mine or another. So I found that there's definitely a need for that. And I'm happy to fill that void. It's like an hourly situation. And, you know, and then, you know, hopefully in time, if they want someone to take on the reins, because it's literally a full-time job, that's why I have a business, you know, I can do that. But to answer your question, I think the best piece of advice I can offer is to look at your business model, look at your own skill set, because we all bring life experiences to the table. We all bring different educational experiences or work experiences to the table. You know, I came from news. So I look at my business and I'm like, what makes me different than, not to say like I'm the only publicist that worked in news. That's definitely not the case. But I think that because I still identify myself as a journalist, I still write, I still keep a foot in that door and things like that for some periodicals, I think that helps me do my job as a publicist that much better. And I'm just using myself as an example. It could do any industry. So if you, you know, I don't know, were in finance, for instance, and decided that you wanted to open maybe not a marketing company, but some sort of service business that's not necessarily financial, you use your background in money and making choices in that and like rhythm and method and like formulas to sort of like help your clientele, because you're going to bring something different to the table than a competitor may, who may have been in education or may have only been in that industry that they're now like owning a business in or something like that. So everybody has something unique. You just need to like hone in on what that is and make that yourself selling point and stay in that lane and brand yourself. And, you know, less is more. And it's something that if I were to do over in my business model, in all honesty, and I represent pretty much any and every industry. And I like that. And it's enabled me to have amazing contacts with so many different reporters that I otherwise wouldn't have had the opportunity to get to know and work with. Because if you're only in the healthcare, for instance, you only pitch like health reporters, for argument's sake. But I would, if I were to look back and I were to do over, I would pick one lane of one specialty and one niche, and I would own that. And I would like make my name known in that field only. And yes, does that cut out other business opportunities? Definitely. I mean, 100% it does, but it also can expand your brand in like in insurmountable ways in a very quick amount of time. So that would be my two pieces of advice, not just.
Is that something you can assist with when it comes to strategizing as to what,
yes.
what is that, what's that one thing that, you know,
yes.
somebody wants to focus on and
kind yes.
of help with data and some research to say if, you know, if it's a saturated place, like if I want to be an expert matter in smart cities, like I haven't done much research to see who's out there speaking about this subject, you know? So like, is that something you can assist with and kind of strategize and say,
okay. Yes, I definitely could. And I definitely do. I guess I'm looking at it as from the consumer's perspective, because when I'm pitching a story, I'm always thinking about who my audience is. When I'm pitching a story, my audience is like a reporter. So I needed to appeal to the reporter, but they are looking at a pitch and think who their audience is, and their audience is the consumers. So I'm always thinking about what they need, what the consumer needs. So for just taking the media off the table, and it's just like a business and the consumer, who is your audience? Who's your consumer? What do they care about? What do they need? What do you bring to the table from your own bag of tricks, so to speak, your own suitcase packed with experiences that they could benefit from that others wouldn't be able to offer? So to answer your question, yes, I definitely can help with that.
I love that. And I love that you offer the one-on-one, because to your point, a lot of startups don't have the big budgets to hire a PR agency, you know, mm-hmm. months to a year with a retainer fee. So I think just to get something going with at least putting together the bio, the pitch, and all of that, that works perfectly. I mean, when we started Romaleaf, I got this book, a colleague of mine wrote, she's a PR agent, and she wrote this book. It's called 8 Second PR something. I don't remember the mm-hmm. name, but I literally took stuff from there and I pitched to Fox LA and
good.
But it was so weird. I pitched it to them and then I worked it backwards. Once they said yes, I put the whole event together. I kind of just hacked the whole thing. I was like, okay, now they're interested in the story. Let me bring in the doctors. Let me do this. Let me put the workshop together. So it was really kind of interesting the way
Did you do the segment? Did they take it?
Yeah, they took the segment.
It good. Was good for you.
3-minute segment, but it was just so funny the way I, you know, as a marketing agency owner, I'm always thinking of ways to hack things. I'm like, what's yeah. the shortest cut?
Yeah.
Like, what's the fastest way for me to get there? And I didn't want to put together this entire huge workshop live event without knowing that I can get media coverage from it, in addition to obviously helping my community. And so
yeah.
I just worked it backwards. I went and started pitching a month and a half in advance. And when they agreed to come and do a cover story, I was like, okay, now let's put the event together. So
that's awesome.
Pretty
good
awesome.
For you.
But I think I could have done
that's
better.
That's so great.
I could have done better if I had you, Mindy, to consult me.
Sounds like you did pretty good yourself.
Then
but thank you for saying that. Yeah.
I could have pitched it to more media and news outlets.
Yeah.
I only
that's still great. That's awesome. Fuck, Good Day LA is tough.
Yeah, it is. It's a good segment. It was 3 minutes long. I think the media value was close to $40,000. So it's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm proud of yourself. That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
So, but thank you. I mean, I wish we had met a year ago. I could have really used your help, but it's never too late. I'm excited that we came across each other, and the work you're doing is so inspiring. And the book, I can't wait to read the book, because
I want to hear what you think.
I need to know what that fine line is, because my fear is I'm an extremist. I can be really, really super nice, but if I have it, I'll just be this like me.
I know a lot of people do. I found myself included. I'm not perfect, but like, you know, it just gives you like an additional layer of just awareness, I think, so that you are more mindful of how you're being read and how you're coming across and, you know.
And I think to your point, you know, like dealing with different generations, like the millennials, you know, the Xennials and Gen Z and all, they're all so different, and understanding how to manage them is a whole different ball game. It's like, it's just so difficult, you know, to be mm-hmm. a leader sometimes and try to be sensitive to their needs as well, but also get the work done and make sure that we're empowering them, but also, you know, I guess tough enough to take to allow them to take us seriously and do the work
yeah That's part of the course. We want to be taken seriously. You know, I remember when I was in news, when I first graduated from college, I looked younger than I was. I've always had that problem. Now I wish it was. But that's okay. So anyway, I felt like, and I remember like one of the first stories, I was working for a really small cable station in central New Jersey. And, the town was just a hotbed for news though. Like we covered, like there was like all these national stories that took place. But I remember one of the first stories was like, I think it was an arsonist, like went on a rampage and like in one of the reserves or what have you. And like all the big stations from New York came down to cover it, as well as the networks, you know, they were all there too. And then there was little old me with my Ocean County Newswatch 8, like my microphone and my flag. And I felt like I needed to be so tough and so strong to get my question into the mix at this press conference. And I mean, I definitely needed to have a voice and assert myself, but I didn't have to be as like, I was acting like an utter bitch, if you will, you know, just to like be taken seriously. And that was so unnecessary looking back. So yeah, but we all do it, you know?
I mean, it's, you know, it's all, you do it, you learn from it, you improvise,
right.
You optimize. That's just the way it is. But, you're definitely an inspiration, not just to women in marketing, I think, but an inspiration to women like myself, because when it comes to, when it comes to telling stories and when it comes to understanding how to deliver that story, it takes a different mindset and a skill set, I think. And I mean, it's clearly you got to be a journalist to understand that. And I love that you have that, because
thank you.
That's going to help, for example, for me to be able to share and amplify my story even further if I'm being guided and shared as to how to make it as authentic as possible. Because I think my challenge a lot of times is, okay, well, I want to get out there and tell people that I started the product because of my own issues with hemiplegic migraines, but then it also helped me as an entrepreneur. And you know, and I have my gross revenue to prove it. And I really do, Mindy. I have my gross revenue to prove it, how my agency grew 330% when I started using CBD, because it controlled my anxiety. And because it was controlling my anxiety, I was able to go and be more confident and calm and pitch and close deals better. And so, so then I struggle between, wait, which story do I tell? Do I stick with the initial story that I started it because of my migraines, or do I talk about the fact that it benefited? So it's always this struggle, you know, where, and it helps to have an outside person to come in and look at it from different, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. God. Okay. I wish I had more time with you, because I still have so many.
This is so fun. I appreciate you having me on.
So many questions, but you know, if somebody's starting out, what advice would you give them in terms of knowing when to hire a PR agency? Like at what point in their business should they be to be ready for a PR?
Well, it's definitely an investment. I mean, if you're going to go the traditional route where you're hiring an agency, my firm, you know, retainers start around three and go up to about $5,000, which is frankly on the lower side in comparison to other firms in New York City and probably LA where you are. I mean, certain parts of the country, certainly the other states and stuff like that, it might vary. But so you need to have the budget to do that, and you need to be committed to at least a year. I would definitely recommend that. I will do contracts that are 6 months, but I only for people that are like established and they just want to get their name back out there a little bit. If you're looking to start fresh and this is your first go around the block with PR, you really need to be committed to at least a year. I mean, I really look to have long-term relationships with my clients, but I know that's not always feasible for a variety of reasons. But I think in order for you to get, you know, you're going to get on the news once, you're not going to get your doors being knocked, maybe, but they, you know, you can't count on that. You need, it's an ongoing massage effect. So you have to be able to stay the course and stick through it through that period of time. That's number one. Number two, I think, you know, if you have the budget and you have the bandwidth to take on, obviously, new clients, you know, you have the ability to bring in new people, new customers and things like that, which I'm guessing you are if you're going in the PR direction. That too, you have to know that it's a somewhat of a time commitment, because if you have a news opportunity, you need to be available. you know, when the news wants to do the story. It might be a midday situation if it's like something that are coming to your place of work and taping with you, or doing a Zoom for the evening shows, it, or, you know, interview for like the next day for the newspaper, whatever it may be. Or it may be something early in the morning. Sometimes they have you on and you do like something like sounds like you did for Good Day, where it's like live and, you know, you're doing a talk back like that. So you have to, you know, be under, I take the burden on of trying to find the story and I do all the legwork, which some firms won't do, but that's something that we take on, but you can't count on that because not every firm will do that. So that's like the main things that I would say is just having the bandwidth and obviously the budget. And then the other direction would just be to hire a publicist like myself or another who offers like the coaching and the consultations. I have a program called Fire Starters. I developed it out of workshops that I was doing pre-COVID, where I was going around doing, I'm a keynote speaker also, and I speak a lot about PR and leadership and stuff like that. But I developed this workshop that's specifically geared towards startup entrepreneurs. So I kind of, when COVID happened and there weren't doing a lot of in-person things and live events and things like that, I kind of like made it into more of a coaching. I still do the workshops, but I also broke it down into like coaching sessions to offer the same tools to people so that they can sort of attempt to do it themselves. And they, and actually I, some of them gotten back to me, like some of my clients are like, we got this opportunity, that opportunity. So it's great. They've been able to pitch properly and they know how to follow up aggressively. And, you know, and if the story that they pitched wasn't a fit, they know how to kind of spin it in a different way to hopefully get the media to do it, and, you know, still do something with them. So I give them a lot of those tips and stuff. And also if you're doing TV, what visually the television outlet would look for versus a print, what they would look for. It's not all the same. They're all different mediums. They all have different needs and stuff like that. So
that's awesome. Well, I love that you have, you know, the workshops or the one-on-one coaching, because I think mm-hmm. anybody that gets their brand out or is starting out, they have to have branding in place. They have to be able to get out there and tell their stories and why they're in that business and what's special mm-hmm. about them. And without it, they just can't survive, especially nowadays in this noisy space online. Mm-hmm. So, and I love that you kind of have the solutions for, you know, starting out. And then as you transition into becoming a more established business, you can just, you know, they can hire you and then have you do most of the work for them. But then to your point, it's important to be available to do these interviews. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Mindy, I wish I had you for a longer time because I still have so many questions that are so, you know, it's like, it's somewhat personal too, in the sense, because I've been struggling with PR so much and it's so crazy as a marketer too. And that's why
it's just different. I don't know how to market. So it's, so different. It's fine. Don't feel bad.
I respect what you guys do so much. Yeah. To me, it seems so hard. I'm just like, it's so hard. And you know, my husband, sometimes he's like,
I get it. I can't do what you do. I know.
You take like $500,000 and spend it in a month and that's not hard. And you think it's hard to pitch. I'm like, yeah, it's hard to pitch the media. Are you kidding me? At least when I have the money and I'm spending it, I'm able to tell people what to do. But when you're pitching it organically, you don't tell people what to do. You just have to be smart enough to pitch them in the right way to get their attention. So I think
you just have to think about who you're pitching to. What do they want? Who are they trying to serve? Who's their audience? If you think of it like that, and then factor in what you can bring to the table, like you wouldn't pitch something super business specific to a consumer-based show like Good Day, right? You'd make it more geared towards generic like audience and variety. I mean, your business, but you know, people that might work for corporate versus whatever, right. You know, so yeah, if you were doing Fox Business, that would obviously be a different audience. Like, so you have to just think about who's watching, because that's, you need to serve them and attract their attention. That's what the producer of a show is looking to do as well. So
Thank you. So
yeah.
the amount of advices you gave us today, I think I am so excited. I mean, I wouldn't go out there alone again. It's pretty hard, but God, it's inspiring to know that there's hope, you know, to get this.
There's hope.
Yes. And just mention really quickly where our listeners can get a hold of you if they want to work with
sure.
you.
Sure. So I am very active on Instagram, and my Instagram is Mindy, and my name is MINDIE Barnett, my company is called MB and Associates Public Relations. So the website's great. I also have a personal website, which is Mindy Barnett, where you'll see my book information and speaking and things like that. But all the PR, everything in PR land is all on mbandassociatespr.com.
Thank you. And we'll have everything in our show notes. Mindy, you've been a pleasure. Thank you so
much. Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.